Our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 7. I invite you to stand. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then, turning to the woman, toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we are standing, please receive this passage, our scripture lesson for the sermon. Jesus says, "When you pray, pray then like this: Our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Thus far the reading of God's Word. May our Lord in His kindness add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of His Word. May He do this for us, His children. And amen. You may be seated. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are debtors. We are in debt. It's a profound debt. Profound. Without forgiveness, there is no... Without forgiveness, there is no church. Without forgiveness, there is no faith, hope, love. Without forgiveness, there is no church. Without forgiveness, there is no bride, bride of Christ. Without forgiveness, there is no relationship. Without forgiveness, there is no marriage. Without forgiveness, there is no family. Without forgiveness, there is no grace. The absence of forgiveness reveals the absence of grace. I'm using the word "no" and "not being present" in the same sense that the Apostle Paul used it in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. The Corinthian church, you'll remember, was observing. They were going about the business of the Lord's Supper, but Paul said, "When you gather, it is not to observe the Lord's Supper." You're not going about it correctly. People may gather as a church, they may gather as a family, they may gather as marriage, but without forgiveness, what you're doing is not what you think you're doing. Without forgiveness, there is no church. Grace changes us. And then grace goes forth from us. Grace is given to us, and then it goes out from us. Forgiveness, one of the Greek words for forgiveness is charizomai. The Greek word for grace is charis. When that's put into action and given, it's charizomai. That's one of the words for forgiveness. Forgiveness is defining. We are a forgiven people. And this means we are a people of grace. We are those who are in a graced relationship with our Father. And this is supposed to flow out to others who are also in a graced relationship with our Father. Why did our Father choose us as His children? What did we deserve? When grace giving happens among us, this obviously reveals that something is going on that needs grace to be given. Grace is given, I'll only give it when it's happy and sunshiny and when the tree is green. Now, when grace is being given, it means grace is needed to be given. Grace is to be given for sins and offenses. And sins and offenses, these happen all around us. They even happen to us, and they happen from us. As those who belong to our Father who art in heaven, we are marked by grace, and we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has reconciled us, He has acted upon us, and then that ministry goes out from us. The Apostle Paul went on to say in that very passage, 2 Corinthians 5, that that ministry of reconciliation was God not imputing or reckoning or counting our trespasses against us. Rather than going, check, 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 guilty, 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 guilty. This petition, we request grace to be given to us. Our Father, forgive us our debts. And then we give grace to others as we forgive our debtors. This petition is about sins. And I know the outline here, it's a sentence fragment. I know that. I'll explain this a bit more clearly so that that outline will make a little bit more sense. This is about sin. This petition is about sin. It uses the word debts here. In Luke's account, it's simply stated this way, and forgive us our sins. It is about sin, our sin and the grace we need for our sins. That's what this is about. It's also about the sins of others and the grace they need to be given from us. Otherwise, there is no church, there is no relationship, there is no family, there is no marriage. This petition, now for the third time stating that, this petition is the only statement in the entire Lord's Prayer that is expanded. It's the only statement in the Lord's Prayer that our Lord picks up again at the end of the prayer. We're in verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And by the way, I've personalized this, but this is corporate because this is the mark all of us. And then after the prayer, our Lord picks this up again in verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Our Lord expands this petition because our Lord knows us. Our Lord knows our need of abundant pardon. Our Lord also knows our tendency to not pardon others. Our Lord knows my need for abundant pardon, and our Lord knows my tendency to not pardon others. And as we shall see next week, that is giving the devil a foothold. We're not ignorant of his schemes, but we'll sure pretend that we are. Oh. Our Lord knows that we sometimes have this bent tendency to retain the sins of others, even their petty offenses, while we go before the Lord requesting forgiveness for our gargantuan sins. Gargantuan. Those that I love, those that I want to keep doing, those that have been shaped and marbled with so many other sins. Then the Lord in His kindness brings a dear friend to come and to say, hey, our Lord knows. And our Lord expands this because we tend to expand our grievances. Our Lord expands this and explains this because we tend to expand and explain away our actions. Offenses happen. Luke 17:1, Jesus says, it is impossible that no offenses, no scandals, scandalon is the Greek word. It is impossible that no offenses should come. And then we go, how dare you? Difficulties. In the church of Corinth, which most of us would not recommend if someone was looking for a church, but we should because it is a church of Jesus Christ where the Spirit was active even amidst their conflict. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. Difficulties and divisions might occur and will occur. And what does Paul say? 1 Corinthians 11:19. For there must be these divisions and divides and distinctions occurring among you, so that those who are approved may be recognized. I got it. I see what's happened. But the Lord has been so gracious to me. Bearing with. We are called to bear with. The Apostle Paul, in one of his prison epistles, Ephesians, says that I, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, I urge you, I'm calling upon you. This is your calling. Ugh. I'm urging you to walk worthy of your calling. Walk in the way that you've been called. Walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. I'm repeating your calling. Do it this way. Walk with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Two beautiful words. Long suffering means slow to anger. Macrothumia. It's going to be a while before my thumos ranges. Walk lowly, walk gently with long suffering and bear with. Another word picture, and I thought to help with this. There have been times that I have gone backpacking and I had a knee that went out, locked up. My fellow backpacker stopped, I dropped pack. Fellow backpacker walked ahead, dropped his pack at camp, came back. Thought I would illustrate what bearing with looks like. You know, many of us know about Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress and the burden of sin that he had on his back. But if this was fully loaded, we're to continue to walk. This is a bearing up, a bearing with. What you're to do. And we tend to say, no, I don't want a single burden. I don't want it. There are times when a knee goes out, and someone comes along and says, you know, I'll bear that for you. Offenses happened, difficulties happened, and we are called to bear with one another. We need great grace. I need great grace. We need the great grace of forgiveness. Our debts are monstrous. So to play on the name of a contemporary group, my sins are monstrous, and I have to deal with one another of monsters and men. My sins are monstrous. This is bold and daring. And because of my monstrous sins and my forgetfulness of grace, like the gravity of grace, that I am not thinking of the gravity that's holding me here or the air that I am breathing. It's just here. Our Lord invites us to make this bold and daring request. Our Lord teaches us to pray a bold, astonishing, daring, and shameless prayer. Shameless. Our Father, forgive us our debts. So we will begin here slowly, deliberately. We will begin with the grace we need, the grace that is already present, the gravity and the atmosphere. We will begin here. This is necessary so as to instruct us and encourage us of the grace that needs to be given in church, in marriage, in friendships, in family. How guilty are we? How many offenses have we committed? What's the current national debt? $19.8 trillion. How many zeros are in $1 trillion? How many? The person that I asked earlier can't answer. I had to verify. How many zeros are in $1 trillion? 12. Who answered that? Oh, okay, I see. I don't see that hand. $1 trillion. 12 zeros. Our national debt is $19.8 trillion. What's your national debt? Excuse me, what's your eternal debt? What is the debt of one sin, even a small sin, against the eternally holy God? How about in that loving marital relationship? And remember, the wondrous gospel mystery of marriage is that sinners dwell together. That's why it's Christ and the church. God chooses to dwell with sinners. Wondrous. So much grace given. Sin hits, hurts, takes away. And that wonderful, lovely, earthly relationship. Chip, chip. What's our national debt? Payments. How far behind are we on our payments? NBC Dallas-Fort Worth, end of March, had this article. Fort Worth, the city of Fort Worth, has extended arrest warrant forgiveness for good. Fort Worth currently has 300,000 traffic warrants. We're just talking about traffic warrants here. We're not talking about eternal warrants. 300,000 traffic warrants. Last year, the city of Fort Worth did a thing called, and because it's Fort Worth, they had to put in a little twangy term to it. They did a warrant roundup. They did a warrant roundup where they invited people to come in and deal with their warrants. Come talk to us. But people were nervous about the word roundup. They thought, oh, you're gathering us to deal with us in a bad way. So they changed the terminology this year. City Marshal said, we went to the terminology warrant forgiveness program. Warrant forgiveness program. They held this in the month of February, a warrant forgiveness, and it worked so well that the city decided to extend it for good. And what does it mean? You know, when you're guilty, you have all these traffic citations just out there looming. If you get pulled over and you haven't dealt with it, you're going to be taken away to a place you don't want to go. So they said, we invite you to come in, own up to it, face up, and we'll work out a payment program with you. And if you do this, if you get pulled over, you won't have to go to jail. Very popular. People like the word forgiveness. Mortgage. Mortgage lender. Let's say you owe X amount on your home. Would you consider walking into your bank, the one who holds your mortgage, and say, I have a question, and I'm very serious about here. Will you please forgive me my mortgage? I imagine the lender looking. Would the lender even crack a smile? Or maybe they'd go, okay, why are you really here? What are you doing here? Well, you know, I know we've got $100,000 left on the note. I'd like to ask you if you would wipe it out. Next. How guilty are we? How many offenses have we committed? What is our national debt? How far behind are we in payments? We have no right, no expectation to go before the Lord and to request this. Our Father, forgive us our debts. You are perfectly holy and we are not. These are my debts. That's the nature of indebtedness. These are mine. I owe this. This is audacious. This is ridiculous. We have no right to ask this except that our Lord has invited us to do so. Come. I'm going to show you what the bride and the bridegroom are like. Ask. Our three readings today, our Old Testament reading, 2 Samuel 9, King David sought out and invited Mephibosheth to his home and his table. He welcomed the crippled grandson of the one who sought to kill him. Saul went maniacal. Saul went wacky and sought to kill David. David seeks and welcomes the family member of his adversary and his opponent. Let's eat together. He did this out of a desire to show kindness. This is different than a desire to take it out on someone else. I know that I have been squelching grace when I desire others to feel my pain and my there's a Proverbs 24:29 says, do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. Don't go there. But often that, you know, is that my theme verse? Is that my theme verse? It was so jaggedy. It was a jaggedy edge. Instead, what does King David do? He showed kindness. Romans 14. Once we remember that we are each one of us are servants of the Most High, and each one of us belongs to our Master, only then will we begin to make room for those who look, smell, sound, and go about things a bit differently than we do. Then we will find grace going forth. And you know what? We'll all go, you know, this is what we need to deal with. Because we bear the name of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly where our ancient foe would love to attack. Whether it's with men's discipleships, whether it's with Friday Circle and the young adults, whether it's with the women's fellowship or anything that's going on, there becomes this, no, we each belong to the Master. In our Lord's family, there are some who are strong and others who are weak. And sometimes those who are strong are weak. There are some who eat in one way and others, for various reasons, eat something else. And yet we all come to one table. And historically, it's been called a communion table, a table of thanksgiving. In this family, there are some who are bowed down and others who are buoyant. Grace sees this. And you know what else grace sees or recognizes? Grace recognizes that this is sometimes not seen. We are all part of the household of faith so that the Lord gets the glory. I was recently just speaking with Pastor John Barrich, and we were talking about curious quotations from the pulpit. My father used to listen to a lot of sermons. He had an injury, World War II, and so he was often in laying down. He loved to listen to the Moody's Founders Week sermons from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And one year he's listening to Pastor Warren Wiersbe. And Warren Wiersbe quoted Mad Magazine. And my father, who had a five-mile smile, and he just was laughing uproariously that Warren Wiersbe quoted Mad Magazine. Just thought that was the funniest thing around. I mentioned this to Pastor Barrich, and he said, you know, I was recently teaching on the nature of the church, and he says, I remember I think it was a Mad Magazine comic where it was all these people in the city out in this public place, and they're all looking around at each other, and they had a thought bubble over their head, a thought cloud. And in the thought cloud, it's, you know, as they're looking at each other, he says, circus must be in town. And, you know, we tend to look at each other and go, what's going on? Well, we're all loved servants chosen by the Lord. Luke 7. Much grace leads to much love. I need to hear this. When there's plenty of love about, that's because there's been plenty of grace given. From Luke 7, I'll slightly amend this now, because the Pharisee in Luke 7 was named Simon. Simon, do you see this woman? It's all Simon was looking at. As well as Jesus going, what's wrong with him? How come he doesn't know what kind of woman this is? Of course I see this woman. Simon, do you see this woman? Simon, do you see this bride of the church? Simon, do you see this woman of ill repute and scandalous reputation? I have welcomed her. I allow her to be near me. And I know her far better than you and your sidewalk talking companions know her. I know her far better than you and anyone in the synagogue and your synagogal chats know. And I have welcomed her. I know everything she has ever done, and I have forgiven her. She loves me so much because she had such a heap of guilt and condemnation, and I took it all away. Simon, you do not love me that much because you don't really think you're all that dirty and nasty. Well, be assured of this. She, my bride, is now clean, and you, Simon, are not. Yes, it was Monday night at the prison, dealing with offenders, as they're called. Offenders. They're guilty. And they have to wear the garments of guilt. They all wear the same exact garments. They're all guilty. And they all want to know, will they be included with the washed bride? Will they be cleansed? And will anybody else even acknowledge it? So dare we ask? Told Elder Capone as I was preparing a number of weeks ago on this. Dare we ask? Do we start here with this reminder and this recalibration? Who are we? What has been given here to us? What has been withheld that we deserve? Dare we ask? Our Heavenly Father is waiting. And our Lord, our elder brother, has said, pray then in this way, our Father, who art in heaven, forgive us our debts. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.